Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand at 12:51. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How we doing, coach?
Good.
Feel good?
How you feeling?
Ripping off a couple in a row now. It's starting to feel really good, eh?
Good first question.
No, I mean, there's been a lot made this past week since Kendrick Perkins said something on the NBC Sports Boston post game regarding Jason Tatum, that when you make the big money and, you know, sort of elevate you and you need to be sort of that different type of player, and he wasn't seeing that from Jason. And then it just seems like he's been more authoritative, so to speak, the last three games. Do players hear when things are said, not by us talking heads in the media, but by former players like Perk?
I have no idea.
Okay.
That would be my answer. I think that players have to navigate, as we all have to navigate, right, this world of, you know, what is, you know, everyone is reacting to every single Good. Game because there's really nothing else to react to right now, right? There's not, Good. You know, and we don't get a chance to see the media in person anymore. They don't get a chance to see us. You know, as far as one-on-one or personal at all. So it's just not, I think that you have to be able to say, you know, for the most part, you have to understand that whatever is said, whether it's on the radio or TV or by former players or whatever, that everybody has a job to do. And we talk all the time about, like, you have to be respectful of everyone's job, but some people's job is to share their opinions strongly, right? And maybe it's not even their opinion. They just want to share, you know, something that may drive interest. But we just have to be able to navigate that. That's just the world that we live in. I think it's something that, you know, as you get older, I think you get better at. But I think that it can affect you negatively or positively if you're not careful. And so I have no idea if Jason heard what Perk said. I get a kick out of Perk, like, you know, as far as like when I watch him on TV and, you know, and hear what he says. But, you know, I don't overreact the way some people do to one game. Tatum has been really good with a heavy burden this year. He and Jaylen have had a super heavy burden to carry. You have Kemba out the first part of the year. You have Smart out most of the year. You know, just when we thought we were getting healthy, we've been missing Fournier. But those guys have been pretty constant through it all. And just like last year, Tatum's taking off right between here games 40 and 60. And so I have not lost a whole lot of sleep over any individual game. That guy's a competitor. He's a winner. That's all he's done since he's been here. He's learning, as all these young guys would, how to be the very best leader he can be. But when I tell you that he is special in that regard as well, that's real. Like, he has an emotional ability that I think is very unique. And so I think that we've tried to be patient, appropriately understanding how difficult this entire experience has been with all of our guys, but certainly patient with our best players, because this has been tough. And I think it says a lot about him that he is continuing to peak as the season goes along. And I've said all along, you guys know this, like, this is only about peaking at the right time for us, because we struggled through it. We've had to, you know, tread water throughout the early parts of the year, you know, with all that we've been through and losing some games we shouldn't have lost. And then, you know, but we've also won some that maybe we shouldn't have won. So we're where we are, and let's see if we can peak at the right time.
Coach, you've talked about right now Jason Tatum and his leadership and what he provides in the locker room. Yesterday we were playing a clip from a podcast that Jason appeared on a couple of years ago, and he told a story about playing for Mike Krzyzewski, and there was a game that Jason Tatum did not have a great first half and went to the locker room. And Mike Krzyzewski knew how to push his buttons by saying, "You're playing like a soft ass St. Louis kid." and he said, he goes,
"What does that mean?"
He goes, "That fired me up because he attacked where I was from and he attacked my city and he knew how to push my buttons." So I'm just saying, if you ever want to fire up Jason Tatum at halftime, have you considered using that or will you consider using that going forward?
Hey, everybody that I've coached from St. Louis is tough. So I don't agree with that.
No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it. You're supposed to say the opposite.
He doesn't have a coat.
I don't really
care.
I don't care what you think I should say.
Coach doesn't wear jackets anymore.
I'm going to do what I want to do. What's that?
You don't wear suits anymore.
I think he's doing, you know, he's had a pretty decent 4 years. We'll just, you know, we're going to keep doing our best to help him grow. But pretty decent. He's had a ridiculous 4 years. So I think, but I know how much he loved Coach K I probably won't say that.
Brad, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago you lost some games you should have won, but you won some maybe you should have lost. I don't know if you put the Denver game in that category just based on how the way they're playing, but that fourth quarter against the Nuggets the other night, what happened to that Denver team in that fourth quarter? And was it something that you saw happening and you further exploited? Is it something that you felt like you and the Celtics were responsible for? Because that was quite a run you guys went on and quite a collapse on the Denver side.
Well, the only thing we did different was we changed our defensive coverages when we were down 14 with 3 minutes to go, and we went to all switching so that we didn't have to deal with all of Jokic on the pops and in the seams. No matter how many times we didn't want to recover with jumping at a fake, we just did. And so that allowed him to play 4-on-3, and he just picked us apart with passing. So the switching allows you to keep everybody in front of you. It allows your shell to stay intact. But the challenge then becomes if he's going to start posting the score. Well, his substitution pattern is coming, right? He's going to sub out usually at the start of the fourth. So if you can hold on with a new coverage for 3 minutes and maybe throw a wrinkle, then, you know, we'll see how that goes. You know, that was our guys did a great job. Grant Williams came in and did a great job holding his ground. Romeo Langford did a great job holding his ground on a couple switches with post-ups with Jamichael Green, one that he caused a travel, one that he took a charge. And then the play that took us and sent us to a different level was at the very end of the quarter when Kimba got the strip and then went the length of the floor and got an and one. You know, I think that our offensive, like, aggressiveness and, you know, just force that we played with followed our defensive force. But that's what good teams do. So, you know, over the last 10 games, you know, knock on wood, because we're getting ready to play just a ridiculous offensive team with these two super talented guards tonight. Defense is improving. And so, as I said the other day on TV, that's something that you are always hesitant to say as a coach because you have to do it again night after night. But, you know, both the offense and the defense are getting to the level where we're showing signs of getting better. So that's at least encouraging.
Expectations on Fournier and when you could potentially have him back, and how's he dealing with it all?
Yeah, don't know.
Don't know.
I know he's not going to be with us on the trip, and then we'll see after that, but I don't know what the exact timeline is. But seems to be doing good, or all things considered. And so, but I've kept in contact with him pretty regularly every day. But we miss him. Like, I mean, I don't know if we had it for more than a game or two, but when you had him and Langford, now that changes your dynamic, because what happens is now, and I said this on the air, we had, you know, some of our better players early on in this season were small. You know, when you looked at whether you're playing Peyton and Teague together off the bench, or whether you keep Peyton in when Kimba, Kimba's still in, you bring Peyton in with him. Like, that's just really small. And now when you can have one of those guys in, but now across the board, you're big, long, and versatile. And you can switch things, and you can be difficult to score on. You can be difficult to guard because you have versatility. Just those two simple additions have given us that gives us a different look, in my opinion, as we move forward here.
Brad Stevens with us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Celtics out west tonight. Coach, appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Be well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.